Have you ever made a request to someone and it came out sounding kind of like a command? Apparently the answer is yes, at least up here. Have you ever been on the receiving end of somebody's misguided request that came off sounding like a command? I'm going to guess that it didn't work very well. Have you ever then found that you were at a loss for how to actually make the request in a way that doesn't alienate the other person? Or hear the request as a request rather than a command? Sometimes it is a demand. What can we do if we want to be in relationship and actually strengthen the relationships that we are in, when we're wanting to request a change in somebody's behavior? This has to be, I think, one of the most universal challenges that we as humans face, is how to request or state a position without making another person wrong or completely dehumanizing them in some way. And I want to share with you some research findings by Dr. John Gottman, who is a psychologist who lives in Seattle. And for over 20 years, he has studied married couples and how they interact with each other. And as a result of this studying that he's done, he's written a book called The Seven Principles for Making Marriage Work. And recognize that although this study was done on couples, it's about relationships. And what applies with couples in relationship that he studies, those learnings can apply to every relationship we're in, whether it's a married relationship, a romantic relationship, a family relationship, friends, workplaces, all of our relations. And in his research, how he came to this research was really quite remarkable, because what he did was he invited couples to come to a condo unit in Seattle and spend a weekend there from Friday night to Sunday. And from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., these couples were recorded on camera. They had monitors to record their heart rate and monitors to record their sweat levels. And this place was called the Love Lab. And other than the bathroom and the bedroom, for obvious reasons, these people were recorded for the course of the weekend. And one would think that if you know that you've got these monitors on and you know that the cameras are there, that you'd be on your best behavior, wouldn't you? But not so much. It didn't take long before that didn't happen, and people fell into their regular patterns. And which I, in itself, I find remarkable. But what was even more remarkable is that some of these couples came back several years later, some even as much as 10 and 15 years later, to be observed again and again. And over the course of that, Dr. Gottman and his team was able to gather some really useful information. And one of the most important findings that he noticed is that over 70% of the conflicts that he observed in these relationships, in this love lab, were never resolved. The people got older, their hair got grayer, or maybe it got lost. The wrinkles got more. The complaints remained the same. Can you relate? And at times that might feel like it's a little depressing, don't you think? Like, where's the hope in that? Well, the truth is, he also was able then to see what worked for people and what didn't. Knowing that the complaints are going to be the same, whether he had people who were what he considered marriage masters, because they came back, so that meant they were still together, or marriage disasters, where there was no couple who came back anymore. So he was able to learn what things worked for couples. And over time, he was able to predict with over 90% accuracy whether or not a relationship would last, and he could do it in less than 5 minutes. 5 minutes. How? By watching how people spoke to each other and how they didn't speak to each other. And he found that the major indicator in the success of relationships has to do with how we talk to each other, how we treat each other during disagreement. And this is what he found. When we were kids, we used to sing a song that went something like, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." And what we've discovered is that's not true. In fact, one heals probably a little bit more enduringly than another. Words, once they are spoken, cannot be taken back. Words, once they are heard, cannot be unheard. So it's important, if relationships matter to us, that we know what works and what doesn't work when we consider how we speak to each other. And what Gottman found is that there were 4 traits that were so damaging to a relationship that he called them the 4 horsemen of the apocalypse. In Revelation, in the book of Revelation, in the Christian scriptures, the 4 horsemen of the apocalypse were the bringers of death. And so he saw these as 4 indicators that if we're not addressed correctly and soon and effectively, would essentially bring on the death of the relationship. He also noted that in a disagreement, if the startup, the initial bringing up of the concern, was what he considered a harsh startup, then the relationship was even more likely to fail. And these are the 4 destroyers of relationship. They are criticism, contempt, defensiveness, and what he calls stonewalling. What is stonewalling? It's when you basically stop listening. It's like checking out, if not physically, then mentally. And the most important one to get, because it's the one that starts everything, is criticism. Because what happens with criticism is you criticize someone and then they get upset and then you get upset and then it gets to a point where you kind of just don't even like the sight of each other anymore and it moves to something that is contemptuous. It's like disgust. And through it all, you have this element of defensiveness because the other person is feeling attacked. And finally, it's just like, I'm done. Don't talk to me anymore. I don't want to hear it. And what he noticed, though, is that the marriage masters didn't do these things. But it doesn't mean that they didn't complain, that they didn't have things that kind of messed them up and upset them and threw them off sideways. What's true from his research, his observation that 70% of the relationship issues never get resolved, is that we're not really all that adept at making changes. Instead, we want to become adept at knowing how to handle if things aren't the way we want, after we effectively and try effectively to make a request. What's true also is that we will always have complaints about each other. My friend, Dr. Martha Creek, Reverend Dr. Martha Creek, says where two or more are gathered, there will be bristling, which is exactly what we want to get better at understanding. The problem, of course, is that none of us really got trained in how to speak in a way that actually elicits a change in behavior from someone else. And part of the reason is exactly that. We're looking for a request that is kind of one-sided, and I'll talk about that in a moment. First, let's just discern a little bit about complaint versus criticism. Complaint is behavior related. It's this situation happens and I feel a certain way and I would like to see that different. Situational. Criticism, in the way he defines it, is characterized by the word you, often followed by the words always, never, should. Can you relate? I see a few nods. There is nothing that's fun when somebody else says to you, you always, you never, or you should. It doesn't feel good when people say it to us. Good thing to remember, Jesus taught us to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. Let's remember that. And yet, when I started doing research about how can we complain more effectively, what I discovered is that for the most part, it's pretty damn one-sided. And by that I mean, what we get is, I am requesting this because of this that happens during a situation. And I honestly think that's only half of the conversation. So here's my suggestion to you about how we can work with this. because I think it's so important, unity's second principle is that we're all connected. We need to aim for power with people, not power over people. And when we are making a request or a demand, and it is ineffective, then it is so easy for it to be understood and interpreted as someone trying to have power over me. So we need to try and find a way to make it so you can say what you want to say, request what you would like to see, and leave a place that's open for discussion. And for that, I think we need to shift our thinking into something that I call both and. So, the first thing we want to do, imagine, for example, that, let's pick an example, that somebody is coming home from work every day, and the thing that they want to do is come home, and they're tired, and they want to eat supper, and then they sit on the couch all for the rest of the night. Imagine that's one partner. The other partner is like, I've got home from work, and we're having dinner, and I would like to spend some time connected with you. Let's go for a walk. And there are these two different feelings, different experiences. Over time, one doesn't even recognize there's a problem, but he kind of does because he's picking up the vibe of irritation from the partner. The partner is feeling frustrated because they're not feeling as if they're being heard or perhaps that they're being seen. So that's, imagine that scenario. So the very first question that I think we should ask is this. That's the idea of coming together. The first question we should ask is this. How much does it matter? And the reason I say that is often we get upset about stuff that truly doesn't matter. So the very first question we want to know is how much does it matter? Not to the other person, not to the world in general, not to my mom or my sister or my best friend who's in a marriage as well, but how much does it matter to me? And am I expecting someone to be different than who they are? So that all comes into the does it matter part. One of my favorite teachers at seminary used to say, other people are not failed attempts at being you. I love that. Other people are not failed attempts at being you. Of course, we are all different. If you're not convinced of that, think of your fingerprint or go to the airport and put your eye in an iris scanner, and out of all the billions of people on the planet, they know who you are. Each one of us is different. So, are we expecting sameness rather than unity? Are we expecting uniformity rather than unity? And then notice the questions you might be telling yourself or the stories you might be telling yourself about what it means. He's coming home from work and then he's having dinner and then he's going to sit on the couch and that means he doesn't love me, he's not listening to me, he blah, blah, blah. All of which may be true and may not. And having decided that it does matter, that I either need clarity or this is something that is actually harming our relationship because I'm holding resentment. If I'm starting to stew so much that I only see that negative aspect, then yes, it's time to make a complaint. And the first thing we want to do when we make a complaint is we want to use soft words. We need to create a place that feels safe for us and for the other person. And that means that we can't go in there guns a-blazing with you always, you never, you should. Didn't they teach you? All those things that feel like an attack. Instead, use softer words. Words like, our relationship is important to me. And because of that, there is something I want to share with you. Can you see how much more receptive that might be than you always, you should, you never? The Persian poet Rumi wrote, raise your words, not your voice. It is rain that grows flowers, not thunder. Raise your words, not voice. It is rain that grows flowers, not thunder. So start gently. And then, and this is something that I learned in a practice called the connection practice. The only one that I found so far that does this. And that is to then ask them what their experience is. But get that person to start talking to you by saying something like, in this example that I spoke about, I'm guessing that when you come home from work, you're pretty tired and all you want to do is put your feet up. That's probably a pretty reasonable guess. And they will say yes or no about whether or not that's true. Well, guess what? Now you're having a conversation. How amazing. And then you can say your part. I understand now why you're coming home and wanting to sit. And at the same time, here is what I am feeling. So you share your experience. And then from that, you make your request. I would love it if before you sit on the couch, after dinner, we find a way that we could go for a short walk or have a chat over coffee. Make a request. Not a request of, you never do this again, because that's not going to work. But more of a, what I hope to see is. And then ask them what they think. In the interest of both and, ask what their ideas are. Can we find a way to make this work so that you can get the rest that you are longing for and I can get the time with you for the connection that I'm feeling like I'm missing? And it's true that there are going to be times when the person is going to say no. And then you go back to part one. Does it matter? And if it still matters, then a different discussion might have to be made. But I promise you that 80%, if not more, of your relationship challenges can be solved if you use a framework something like this. Where each of you go, okay, this matters to me too. I don't want you to feel like that. I do want to sit on the couch. Maybe we could do it every second night. Maybe we make a time on the week. Like, find a way, but you're having a discussion without making each other wrong. And when you get to that, does it matter a second time, and maybe even the first time, there is a lot of value to the idea of asking yourself the question, what if I didn't mind? How could my life be lighter if I didn't mind that they came home and sat on the couch? Or whatever it is, they have this habit of, you know, complaining as soon as they walk in the house. What if I didn't mind? What if I just kind of saw that and went, oh, that's so-and-so doing their thing again? What if I didn't take it on? Starts there, then it goes around. Does it matter? If yes, use soft words. Open the discussion. Guess what it is that they're experiencing, because almost everyone is doing things from their own point of view, and it seems very reasonable, whatever they're doing to them. So guess what it is. Then share your idea and your feelings. Make the request. Ask for their ideas to help solve it. In this way, your criticisms will go down. They won't go away, probably, but that's okay. Our goal is to criticize less, to complain more effectively, to make change without making the other person wrong. In this way, we complain in a way that improves our connection. And isn't that what we all want in our relationships? I bless you.